And please turn now in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 10 to 19 this morning as we continue working our way through the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. These are a series of speeches from a father to a son. And the father is instructing his son. And we talked about the beginning of wisdom being the fear of the Lord. Last week we had this admonition that we needed to quit waffling and to make up our mind and to pursue wisdom. And in this section, we hear about seeing and maintaining our walk on the proper path. So this is the sixth of 10 addresses from father to son that are in these first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. So listen to God's word now from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold on instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And there will end the reading of God's word. May God bless his word to his people this morning. Well, last winter, my daughter Jane was playing on a basketball team, and we were there to watch the game. And one of her teammates grabbed the ball, went strong to the basket, made a beautiful shot. The ball went right in. But there was just one problem. It was the wrong basket. And so she'd scored for the other team. And probably if you've watched children playing sports, or even sometimes older than children people playing sports, you've seen something like this happen. In a basketball game, there's only two options, right? The right way, the right basketball goal, and the wrong way. And there's no in-between. There's no third option. Sadly, sometimes in the Christian life, we try to make things more complicated than they are. And we try to come up with nuances and all kinds of other things that are confusing, when the Bible wants to make it very simple for you. And that's what Solomon's doing in this passage. He's telling you there's a right way to go that leads towards light and life, and there's a wrong way to go, and it leads towards darkness and death. And so the obvious implication of the passage is stay away from the path that leads to darkness and death and stay on the path that leads to light and to life. And so as we look at the passage this morning, I hope that's what you'll see. There's only two paths in life. There's only two choices. You must avoid the way of darkness of death, and you must learn to run with Jesus Christ along the path that leads to light and to life. And children, if you'd like to draw a picture for us today, maybe you could draw a picture of a man going on a hike and draw two paths, and he has to choose which way to go, and listen as we go through our sermon as to what you should draw and why the man should take one path instead of another path. If you would like to follow along, there's an outline in the bulletin you can see there. The first thing that I'd like us to see is that you are all on a path that goes somewhere. Every one of you is on a path going somewhere. Here in verse 10, Solomon says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings." This is the sixth time the father has addressed the son directly so far in the book of Proverbs. And this is going to go, there's going to be 10 of these addresses all together. And we might say, some of you children might be saying, how many times do we have to hear the same thing? Hear my son and receive my sayings. Hasn't he said this over and over again. And you might say, children, sometimes does dad tell you a story that you've heard before? Don't answer that out loud, right? But you may actually think in your mind, why does dad keep telling me the same stories over and over again? Well, let me tell you, as a dad, it's because we know you won't remember, or at least if you remember the story, you won't take it to heart like you should. And so we need to repeat for you over and over again these important truths that we want you to learn. And that's certainly what Solomon is doing here for us. I think the fathers who repeat themselves have biblical warrant for that. You can point to the Bible and say, see, this is the way God wants us to do it. And so we need repetition. But notice here that that he doesn't just want his son to hear, right? In verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings. And that word really means to take it in, to internalize what I'm telling you and to make it part of your life. And see what he says in the second half of verse 10. And the years of your life will be many. The result will be a full, meaningful life. This is what we're seeing over and over again. Take these things in, internalize them, and you will have a full and meaningful life. But notice that in verse 11, he says, I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. And that word way could be translated path. It could be translated road. And so he's using here a metaphor of the path that you walk on as a way of life. And this is what he's taught his son. This is the way, this is the road that you should go on, the road of wisdom. And it's a road that is a straight path. This translation says a right path, but other translations say a straight path, one that's clear and that you can walk on and not break your ankle. And notice in verse 12, he says, when you walk, right? And it's not if you walk, it's when you walk. The assumption is he wants you to go on this particular path, but the assumption is you have to walk on some path. You are going somewhere in your life. And the question is then, where are you going and how are you getting there? And you may think this is somewhat of a trivial point to make. But I think it's not. We need to realize, even if you live in the same house you were born in, you buy it from your parents, and you die, and you never leave the block you were born on, you're still going somewhere in your life. There's no one here who is not on a journey. And it's an eternal journey. It's one that has eternal consequences. We teach the children from the Children's Catechism this little question, number 19. Have you a soul as well as a body? And what's the answer to that? Yes, I have a soul that can never die. What a profound thing to realize. You have a soul that can never die. You are going to be around forever. Not in the present form, not in the present place, but it will really be you. And if that's true, then you need to realize you're on a journey that has eternal consequences. And you need to realize that that's the case. And you need to have an idea where you're going. Now, last year, the children at Vacation Bible School studied John Bunyan's classic story, The Pilgrim's Progress. And of course, Bunyan there tells the story of a man who's on a journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And this is, of course, a biblical idea. We're seeing it here in Proverbs, that the whole life of a person is presented as a journey going somewhere. And in that book, children, you remember that there were ups and downs. There were difficult times. There were easy times. But always they were heading somewhere. And you see, you realize if you don't realize you're heading somewhere, you're going to have a very difficult time knowing if you're going the right direction or not. This is one of the things we all have to learn. And we have to be able to say to ourselves, where am I going? And to look up enough to ask that question. I heard a preacher talking about this who told a story about some guys in the 1800s on a whaling boat. And the boat got hit by the whale and actually started to sink. And it was sinking slowly, and they all got onto the life rafts. And as they're on the life rafts, two of the sailors jumped back into the water and swam back to the sinking ship and went down into the ship, and they were gone for quite a while. And so the rest of the people were really wondering what's going on. And then they emerged, right, and swam back to the lifeboats, and they had gone to get something that was in the boat. And you might be thinking, what was it? Their gold? It was their compass. They realized, we're starting a journey, and we need to know where we're going. And a lot of times we live our lives like we're not, that's not true, and we don't know where we're headed, and so we're just wandering around wherever the water is going to, and the wind is going to blow us. So remember, you're on a journey somewhere, and you need to think about where that is. Secondly, this text reminds us that in the end, there's really only two paths that you can be on. There's only two paths you can take. Now, obviously, the Father wants the Son to take the path of wisdom, and he talks about this in verse 11. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. This is one of the ways. Verse 13, he talks about synonyms for wisdom. He says, take firm hold of instruction. That's another synonym for wisdom. And do not let it go. Keep it. It's your life. This is the path that he wants them to take. So there's one path, right? We know there's one path. But he also then mentions in verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. So now we know there's another path. There's at least two paths that you can take, the path of wisdom or the path of the wicked that he describes there. He says in the second half of verse 14, it's the way of evil. It's another road. It's another path. But as we read through this passage, and as we in fact go and read elsewhere in the Bible, it turns out there's not many paths. There's really only two paths. The two paths look the one path that leads to destruction can look different, but it's really just two paths you can be on. The path of wisdom or the path of wickedness, as it says here. And at the last part of the section we read, verse 18, the path of the just is like the shining sun. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. These are the two paths, and there are no other choices. One of the commentators in speaking of this said, we don't like this, right? Because the text is presenting for us, you've got this shining path of brilliant light, and you've got this gloomy path of darkness. And he says, we would really prefer, like, can't I just have a half-decent path of mediocrity? Like, just let me be in the middle somewhere, not be overly challenged, and to do what's easy. And that is a temptation for us. We have to remind ourselves, not an option. It's not an option. When I visited China last month, you can't help but ask this question. What would I do if I was living here? Because one could join the state church as a Christian and for the most part not be bothered. And there'd be compromises. I mean, you wouldn't have the whole Bible there. You'd only have the preacher that the government wanted you to have. You wouldn't really be able to do evangelism. You couldn't teach Bible studies to unbelievers. You know, there'd be things that would be limited. But you could go to church every week. You'd have a church to go to, and it would look kind of like church. And you'd have a community you could be a part of. And you could sort of go through the motions of being a Christian. And you could see how somebody could say, there's a lot of advantages to that kind of compromise. I'm not going to have the government arresting me. I'm not going to be beaten. I'm not going to be fined. I'm not going to be blacklisted. And you wonder, what would I do in that kind of circumstance? This is the circumstance, children, you learned about when Daniel was told that no one's allowed to pray except to the king for 30 days. Daniel could have said, I'll just pray quietly, secretly. I'll disobey in a way that's very subtle. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And the believers in China aren't doing that either. They're saying, I'm going to walk on this path. Because the path of compromise is not a middle way. It's the path of darkness and gloom. There are only two paths. Don't fool yourself into saying that you can have some kind of mediocre, half-hearted walk that's actually the path of light. It's not. What we're presented here is a choice, a binary choice, two things. And you're always traveling on one of these two paths. So don't kid yourself about that. Thirdly, this text reminds us that the path of the wicked leads to ever-increasing darkness. This is why Solomon doesn't want his son to take this path. The passage, the whole passage, if you notice, breaks pretty neatly in two, where the path of light is being discussed in verses 10 to 13, the path of darkness in verses 14 to 17, and then in verses 18 and 19, we go back and mention the two paths again, the path of the wisdom and the path of wickedness. And so verse 14 is a solemn warning. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. The children, Solomon is warning us, don't even go near that path. Don't put one single foot on that path. Don't start that journey at all. It's too dangerous. And the reason Solomon is saying here, or how his approach is, he says to them, I want you on this path. I want you not on that path. The way he tries to convince them is he says to them, let's see where these paths lead. Okay, before we start walking anywhere, let's look down and see where does this path actually go? Where will I end up if I go down this path? And where does this other path go? And what he says about the path of unrighteousness, of wicked, is some very disturbing things. Verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. See what it's describing? It says, if you go down this path, you're going to be the kind of person who's agitated, who has trouble resting and sleeping if he or she is not engaged in some kind of evil. Evil is like a sedative to those people, right? So I you know, if you can't sleep, if I can't sleep, maybe I read a book. Maybe I take some melatonin, right? For these people, they do evil. That's what puts them at ease. And what's ironic, of course, today is that many people do their evil in the middle of night when they're writing terrible things on social media, attacking people's reputation, committing murder of people's reputation, and all kinds of evil that can be done when we can't sleep. And so this is what this is saying. This is the kind of person you are. If you walk down this road, this is where it leads. Verse 17 says something equally disturbing. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. The people on this path, they sustain their lives. They get strength from doing evil. It's as if wickedness is food to them and wickedness is drink to them. They can't live unless they're doing some form of evil. Sin is what gives them the energy they need to keep living. Commentator Bruce Waltke says it this way, and I put this in your outline. They are so addicted to evil that it has become their sedative by night and their food and drink by day. Or as Jesus said in John 8, verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And this is the idea that as you go down this path, it may not look that bad as you first get on it. But as you go down this path, as you engage in sin, it becomes easier and easier for you to sin. And you become numb to your sin. And you don't even realize in cases that you're sinning. And so you get dragged in. And this is why we say that this path leads to an ever-increasing darkness. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And it's as if you're going into greater and greater darkness. And in your blindness, you're tripping and falling on things. And you don't even know what it is that's tripping you up. I saw a Mythbusters episode some years ago that they actually showed that the most painful thing you can step on, it's not hot coals, it's not broken glass, it's Legos. And they have scientific proof. And any parent who's done this, right, who's in the dark of night, stumbling to the bathroom, stepped on a Lego, right, and feels the pain coursing through your entire body. You don't know what hit you, right? You don't know what happened, what hit me here. And this is sort of what he's saying. You're in a darkness, only it's much more serious. This is your life, and you're stumbling, and you're falling, and you don't even know what's going on in your life because you're going down this path of gloom that leads to destruction, and things are getting darker and darker as you travel. Commentator Ray Ortlund says, "We scarcely understand the dark powers we unleash inside ourselves when we turn one step away from the path of Christ's wisdom." And this is because the power of sin is addictive. It's addictive and it's blinding. And when we start on that path, we have no certainty that we can stop ourselves. We can go over to Seminary Square just over there and see people's lives that have been destroyed by substance abuse. You know, how did that start? It didn't start with them being homeless in the park. Right? That's where it led. It started with one decision that they made years ago. And they started on that path that's led them to where they are now. Last summer we were hiking in Glacier National Park, and we had a hike up through the snow, and we got to this overlook. We were looking at this beautiful lake from above, and really enjoyed that view. And the trail went down to the lake shore. And so some of us were debating, do we want to walk more? I mean, we walked pretty far at that point. Do we want to go down, all the way down to the lake? And some people coming up from the lake said, grizzly bear and two cubs down there. Now, there were some people that said, oh, that'll be great. Let's go see the grizzly bear. The people saying that are people that don't have any clue what grizzly bears are like. Because grizzly bears kill people. People who are smart, seasoned hunters. One of Sam McCracken out in Wyoming, one of his good friends who led hunting trips, was mauled by a grizzly bear just last year. Because they're fast and they're powerful. And they cannot be reasoned with. And this is what your sin is like. And if you think I can start walking down there, and I can just turn back whenever I want, there's no guarantee that you can do that. And your sin devours you, swallows you, makes you blind to what you're doing. And so there's no way back. No way back on your own. And we have to realize, children, this is why the Lord is warning you. Don't go down that path. Look where this path leads. And don't go down this path. Jesus actually describes this three times in the Gospel of Matthew. Where he says, and I put one example, Matthew 25, verse 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because this, as we said before, it's an eternal journey. And so Jesus describes the end of this path as outer darkness, away from God, away from everything that's good. For all eternity, growing less and less human, less and less like you're supposed to be. Never any light. It's a terrifying thing to think about. And this is why you and I must stay away from that path. But fourthly, thankfully, there's another path. The path of wisdom, which leads to ever-increasing light. And Solomon discusses this in verses 10 to 13, and then again mentions it in verse 18. So when he says to take hold of wisdom, to internalize it, to live by it, he's reminding his son that this path doesn't lead to darkness and to despair. It leads to hope and to joy. He says in verse 11, as we said before, it's a right path. It's a straight path. It's smooth. It's marked. It's level. It does not trip you up. Now, this doesn't mean it's easy. Right? He's not guaranteeing you a life of ease, but he's saying the way is clear that you can go. And in some ways, this is less complicated. Right? It's less complicated. If you're committed to walking on this path, right? And you're faced with the decision, do I go to this church that doesn't preach the gospel, because it's more comfortable? Or do I go to this church that preaches the gospel when it may mean that I'm in danger? It's not a choice. You know already what decision you have to make. And this is the decision that millions of believers are making in China. But these things you have to sort through in your mind ahead of time so that you know what you believe as someone who's walking along the path that God's given you. It can greatly simplify your life. And this happens all the time in our family. Somebody comes and says, "Hey, do you want to play in this league? And we're going to play on Sunday." This happened to us yesterday. We got this group playing to get together. They'll get together on Sundays. No, can't do it. I don't have to even waste one instant of my brain power or my time evaluating this because I know who I am and I know the path I'm on. And so you see, when he says it's a straight path, he's saying it simplifies your life. He's not saying it's easy, but he's saying it can simplify your life and make it clear if you're walking along this path of wisdom. In verse 13, he calls wisdom your life. He says, "Keep her, for she is your life." And this is not hyperbole. This path of wisdom leads to life itself. And we've talked about this before. It's full life. It's eternal life is made clear from other places in this book. And the reason this is so is because wisdom leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, verse 4, Jesus himself is called our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the path of wisdom and where it leads. Furthermore, in verse 18, the path of wisdom is said to be heading toward greater and greater light. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The metaphor there is you're waking up. It's the morning sun. And as the morning sun is rising, it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter until it's full on overhead. And this is the picture of the person who is walking in the path of wisdom, is that the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter as we walk along. And of course, this also comes from Jesus. We read earlier in the service from John 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And the clear implication of what Jesus is saying there is that if you walk with me, you will be able to see. I will give you light and you will go on the path of light and of life. But if you don't walk with me, that's the only other choice. You're with me or you're not with me. And if you're not with me, that's the path of darkness. And there's no way out of it. A number of years ago, when I was traveling with my family in Scotland, and we were to climb a large mountain there that sat over a large lake. And so as we started, it was a typical beautiful summer day in Scotland, which means it was cloudy and overcast and probably like 45 degrees or something like that. And so as we start this climb, we were literally in the middle of a cloud, so that for a lot of it was wet and it was hard to see anything. And we're all thinking, what are we doing this for? What are we going to see? But as we climbed and as we climbed and as we climbed, we actually finally got out of the mist and up on top of it. And from there, we could see beyond the clouds to where the lake was all laid out below. And we had this spectacular view. And this is what God is telling you. As you climb this path, as you walk on this way, the light will increase and you will see more clearly. Of course, you're going to see your sin more clearly, and you'll have to wrestle with that. But you're going to see the glory of the Lord more clearly as you come closer and closer to Him. This is the path that you are on. And recognize it's an eternal prospect. This is your eternal destination. That you're never going to stop learning and growing and being exposed to more light. And when you're in heaven, you've been there 1,000 years. There'll still be things for you to learn about how great God is. The glory of God will never fill your capacity to learn. So that's eternity for you. Always more light. Always more knowledge. Always greater and higher life. This is what Jesus promises us when we walk on the path of wisdom, when we listen to His Word, when we take it in and we internalize it. So finally, this path is then calling you and calling me to run with Jesus. Run with Jesus on the path of wisdom. This is a promise from the Father. Verse 11, I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you. I've led you in the right path. He didn't just write him a note and send it to him. He's taken his son with him. He's led his son on the way that he should go. He's shown him the way. And we recognize if we're left to ourselves, we're not going to take that path. That's not our natural bent. There's nothing in you and there's nothing in me that naturally wants to go on the path of light, the path of wisdom. All of us by nature want to go down the path of darkness that leads to destruction. And so we're reminded in this passage that our hope comes from the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth and willingly walked on the path of darkness in our place. And He walked all the way to where that path ends. And when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a cry of despair, a cry of confusion, a cry from the darkness. And didn't the land turn dark in the middle of the day as Jesus was being crucified? As Jesus went into that darkness from which no one can see, He was bearing your sin and my sin on in His body and in His soul. But because Jesus was the perfect Son of God, He was the one person who was able to go down that path all the way to its end and come back. And He did come back. And He came back from the dead and He came to save His people. And it's only because Jesus did that that you and me have any hope of walking on the path of wisdom and not on the path of the wicked. But we have to walk with Him. We have to walk with Him. And this is what He says. He says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. I will be there helping you walk. And when you run, you will not stumble. There is an implied progression that as you walk with Jesus, and for every one of us, when we start a relationship with Jesus, it's baby steps. And some of us may feel like we never get beyond baby steps. But Jesus says, walk with me, and you'll go from walking to running. You'll make progress. We all start in a different place. We all end in a different place. But you are to run with Jesus along this path and let Him go with you and help you and strengthen you in this. And then we have at the end of the Bible this wonderful promise from Revelation 21, verse 23. It's also repeated in chapter 22. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb is its light. That's where you're headed with Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, He lets you see just a little bit of that light in this life as we keep going closer and closer to Jesus. Some of you know the Christian counselor and author David Paulison. So he worked at Westminster Seminary for a number of years and just died on Friday from pancreatic cancer at the age of 66. And he was a real important player in the Christian counseling movement. And if you're able to, you ought to go on the Gospel Coalition website and see a little bit of his obituary. Because in there it talks about how he came to faith. And he was born in Hawaii, sort of went to a Unitarian church, so he's very liberal when he was growing up. He went to Harvard and became a campus radical, so he was way out there. And sometime after he was out of college, one of his friends, who had also been a radical but who had been converted, came to him and said, David, you know that I love you, but you are going to destroy yourself if you keep walking on the path that you're walking on. And he said for the first time in his life, he realized what his friend was saying was true. And he'd argued about religion as sort of a philosophical concept, but he never grappled with his own destroyed life that he was living. And he later wrote, "It was as though my entire life had been walking hot, dusty roads looking for something which wasn't God." He was on the way of the wicked. He was on the wrong path. But, he said, God was looking for me. And then he said, "I found myself at home, and I found that I had been found and loved." And God had gone after him and brought him on to the path of wisdom so that he could walk that path the rest of his life and enter into glory and to experience that light in all of its fullness. That's where he is now. And that's where every one of you is headed if you're walking on this one path. There aren't multiple ways to get there. There's only one way to get there. You've got to walk on the way of wisdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not on that path, it's not too late. Cry out to the Lord, and he promises he will take you to himself. Go to the Lord in prayer for help. But if you're on that path, you need to constantly be checking yourself. Am I walking in the way that I should be going? If I've diverted, like Pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress, I've got to go back to where I was by repentance and walk on that path again, the one that Christ has laid out for me. And that's your great hope. You're going somewhere. It's not a treadmill. You're actually going somewhere, and you're going to get somewhere. And that place is the place of glorious light in the presence of the Lamb of God for all eternity. Now let's pray and ask him to help us as we walk on this journey. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths which are at the same time simple and yet so profound, Lord God, that there really only are two options, and that each one of us is walking on a path. Lord, if there is anyone here who's confusing him or herself by saying, "I'm sort of walking on this middle way, which involves little commitment and very little effort," Lord, please help us to recognize the peril that we're in. Help us to walk the path that Jesus has for us, the path of wisdom, where we take the teaching of your word to heart. We internalize it and we make it our own. Lord, we ask that you would do that great work in our lives that only Jesus can do, to take us off the path of the wicked and bring us onto the path of wisdom and light. And Lord, then that you would walk on that path with us, that you would keep us on that path until we enter into glory and see with our eyes the fullness of the light that is there and experience the fullness of the life that is there. Lord, please keep us from the path of darkness and death, and keep us running on the path of light and life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now let's sing our praise back to the Lord, the one who saves us, by singing from Psalm 25, and we'll look at selection B. Psalm 25, selection B. "The Lord is good and just, the way he'll sinners show. He guides the meek in what is just, that they his path will know. To those who keep his word, his covenant obey, the loving kindness of the Lord and truth will be their way." The whole psalm, this part of what we're singing, is about the way that we should go. We go there as God leads us and takes us. Let's stand and we'll sing our praise to him together.